Jane Latour interviewing Anne Jokums on September 20th, 1994 at NYU. So Anne, last time we talked, which was fall of 1990, you were acting as a supervisor and you were considering giving the Board of Education another deadline till October. You had an October deadline before you were going to file a grievance so that they would be in compliance with what you were supposed to be doing as a supervisor. So what's been happening with your role as a supervisor at the Board of Ed?
Well, I did sit as an acting supervisor for that year, and I never did file a grievance. In October of 90, they did finally appoint me, and now I'm appointed civil service carpenter supervisor. So it wasn't necessary to file a grievance. And I mean, I did contact the tradeswoman liaison and, you know, let her know that I wasn't happy being in the acting position when I was sitting on a list to be appointed. And I never know what goes on behind the scenes, so I don't know if I just, you know, my number just came up, or because they knew that there was a liaison and they were being monitored, that they would have to appoint me, or what. But I was appointed, and I've been in that title now for almost 4 years.
So how many people are you supervising? Or attempting to supervise?
Right, 12 right now. I have 6 teams and 13 and 3 districts. So it's about 75 buildings, I think.
And so how directly do you direct their work? What's it like?
Well, it's pretty direct, although a lot of my time is taken up with administrative detail, and I really am consumed a lot by the paperwork, and so don't get out into the field, as they say, that much to do. Like, I don't check every single job, but you know, I go to a couple jobs a day anyway.
And did you receive training to be a supervisor?
No. I don't think so. No, you just take a test, and you know, there's a ranked list, and then you get appointed off of that. There should be training, though. I wish there was training. For some reason, it's interesting, sort of ironic, that the Board of Ed wouldn't have very much training.
Do you ever get a chance to meet with other supervisors and learn from their experience and share ideas about common problems, or it doesn't happen?
In an ideal situation, you would, and I do some, but mostly I feel like I'm adversarial with the other supervisors. Like, it's a problem. Like, the people that work for me, I get along pretty well with. Funny about that. But the people that are my peers are the ones where I feel like the greatest conflict. Although lately, even that has sort of subsided.
What's the source of the conflict, do you think?
I think it's just a power struggle, you know? Like, I don't think they ever forgave me for fighting to have the pornography removed from the carpenter shop. And, you know, it's just like fighting for equality, you know, like it's that same old battle again, you know, like feeling like that, I guess I just feel like I often get the short end of the stick, you know, like get use of the tools and the resources available there. You know, I'm just not a full-fledged team player, like they don't let me be. You know, I feel like I have less information than everyone else, like I'm working blind a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been blessed with a really good crew. I actually think I have the best crew, but I feel like the reason that happened is because they didn't know how good those people were when they were assigned to me, or they wouldn't have assigned them to me.
But so how has your working relationship with the men that you supervise changed over time?
I think it's really gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, they probably didn't know what to think at first when I first came on, but I mean, now I think we're a really good team, actually.
Are you enjoying it at all?
Well, I mean, I sort of make a joke of, you know, I'm finally doing what I want to do, watching other people work. but yeah, I mean, really, that is sort of a joke, though, because, I mean, it's frustrating, too, because what does a supervisor really do? I mean, it's sort of an ideological problem that I have myself about, you know, because one of the reasons I was a carpenter is because it was tangible work that you could see the results of your work. Mm-hmm. So now being a supervisor, that's no longer true. And so you're back into that sort of analytical thing or something, you know? And it's hard to really tell. It's hard to see the fruits of your labor or tell what's yours and what's theirs and all like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So what has been happening with, you mentioned liaison, and is this the same person who we talked about in 1990 who you felt at the time was overwhelmed and didn't really have enough time to do the job right?
Yeah, well, actually now she's out on maternity leave, and that whole thing has sort of died out, like ever since Sue got fired.
You're referring to Susan D'Alessandro?
Right, right, ever since Susan got fired.
By the Board of Ed.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's still being litigated as we speak. And then, even though there are a few other women working there now, I feel like none of them are interested in organizing politically on the job. And I sort of let the ball drop myself. Well, when I went to school, and so then I didn't have any time to do anything, even there, because it took so much energy. But,
well, first of all, what were you going to school for?
I was in law school.
Okay. And so that took up your time, so you didn't have time to follow up on the meetings. And now this
right.
liaison person is on maternity leave, and they haven't put somebody else in there?
Right, right. And, yeah, and it's just sort of died, you know, like...
So was momentum ever built up?
It was. It was built up, I thought, marvelously, except for the part about Sue being fired. But it was really good. Like, there was some really supportive administrators, and, you know, they were giving time off from the job to speak in the schools and to attend tradeswoman-related things. And I was even allowed to teach a course one day a week to, you know, women at New York City Technical College in a pre-apprentice program. And it was really... going great, but you know, all of that sort of ended, and now
so do you have plans for picking it up again when she comes back from maternity leave? Or
I feel like I'm alone. I feel like the other women that work there, they're so few in numbers, and I feel like they're not organizers, and mm-hmm. they're not interested in doing it, and I feel like just me doing it
doesn't make sense.
Right. Right. Except, you know, that unless I wanted time off from the job to speak in the schools, mm-hmm. which I think would be a really important mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Because there is this other agency, the School Construction Authority, that supposedly has this whole program going about this mandate about wanting to get young women in non-traditional jobs, and mm-hmm. how, you know, and then there I am right there, which would be, you know, the perfect person to go, you know, go from my job to speak in the schools, but I haven't coordinated it yet, and nobody's approached me, and I don't know if anybody's doing it, but...
Last time when we talked, you said that you would have a hard time encouraging young women to go into the field based on your own experience, but you still feel that it's important to try to get... you also said that Board of Ed doesn't need one less woman, it needs 5,000 more.
Yeah.
So there's like this built-in ambivalence.
Yeah.
Right? And but you still feel it'd be important to talk to young women to try to change the...
Well, I think they should have the option. And mm-hmm. I just keep thinking of, I mean, the whole idea of why... I mean, they're just great paying jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these unionized skilled trade jobs, I still feel like it's the last bastion that women are being kept out of, and that it could be a perfect economic strategy for working class and lower class women. But... the personal toll that it's taken on me has just being in such isolation and dealing with the day-to-day hostility, hostile work environment and oppression, and you know, it's not very lesbian friendly, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just wish that I was spending more of my life in a woman positive, lesbian friendly environment, and I'm trying now to figure out how to do that, but then when I think of the economic reality, that's when I feel like that, how important it is to continue to fight for these jobs opening up to women. But there's just been so little gain in all these years, you know, we haven't hardly there hasn't been any increase, really, just a few dribbling in. And
where are the other women in the Board of Ed that you mentioned?
Well, like there's...
You mentioned before an electrician's helper, a black woman?
She's white. She's an electrician. Now she got promoted. She's an electrician. And then I know of one plumber in the Bronx. There's a plumber in Brooklyn. And there's a carpenter, a provisional carpenter in Brooklyn who used to work for me, but now she doesn't anymore. So that's it, as far as I know. Like the numbers are, you know, nauseatingly bleak.
What's happening with the Carpenters Union and the Women's Committee that you had talked about?
Oh, yeah. Well, this has been going on for years, but we're continuing now with sort of a new momentum. I'm not even sure where it came from, but to get this Women Carpenters Committee going again. And I'm on the steering committee, and we do meet regularly. And we're just trying to get our voice in the union now that, of course, I'm not very clear of all these changes going on in the union, but they're under some, you know better than I do, they're under some mandate to be more fair and honest in their hiring and stuff. And so now we feel, I guess, we're encouraged by that. And, you know, just trying to get space there, like to get them to acknowledge us more and to network with, to network with other groups. Like there was a tradeswoman summit in Kansas City in April that was real empowering also. And just yesterday I got a mailing where the National Tradeswoman Network is trying to start up again and had a whole list of, you know, women and what their vision is and what they can do to bring this about and encouraging us all to get in contact with each other and everything. And
they hired a coordinator?
No, it's all volunteer still.
But they had a coordinator back when we had talked last time.
Right,
and then
that
woman
whole
had,
thing.
They
right.
lost their funding,
right.
So then the woman was going to leave.
Right, that whole thing did die out.
And then I know that the Department of, the Women's Bureau of Department of Labor in New York City was active on behalf of women in the trades. They were having some meetings and trying to act as a coordinator.
Yeah, and they did still you? Do. And mm-hmm. Florence Falk Dickler's was a guest speaker at the Women Carpenters Committee meeting last week, and she encouraged us to get the regional council going again because other places in New York and on the Eastern Seaboard have these councils.
That's for the Tradeswoman Network,
right,
the regional council.
Right, but we don't, but New York, it just sort of died.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Now that regional council would just be for New York, or would it be like New York and other states?
I think it's other states also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, now, how many women were at the Women's Committee meeting? That was just for the carpenters that you
Right, that was just women carpenters. There was probably about 10.
Only 10?
Yeah.
And how many women are in the carpenters in New York City? Well, it must be hundreds,
I wish I
right?
knew. I think it's a few hundred, but I'm not sure. We're trying to get that information now, again, from the union, and they, you know, seem to not be able to give it to us.
So they let you have space and they let you have a meeting, and how often are these meetings held?
Well, over the summer, the steering committee met once a month, and now we're having, like, the general membership meeting, and then a steering committee meeting, so I guess the steering committee, you know, once a month, and the general, so probably two meetings a month, I believe.
So you're on the steering committee?
Right.
Now, what seems to be the problem, why the committee isn't striking a chord with women carpenters?
I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just like... they're tired, I guess, you know? I mean, they're either not interested in being activists or feel like by aligning with other women, you know, like their own internalized misogyny, or, you know, just figuring out how to survive their own way, not understanding, not feeling like if they bond with other women that could help them or something, you know? Like it might taint their reputation or... I mean, I sort of know what they mean, but I hate that kind of thing. You know, when there's so few women anyway, and then they won't even talk to each other or support each other because, you know, it diminishes them somehow to bond.
So, what are some of the things that the Carpenters Committee is trying to address now, besides trying to get the names and addresses of the women carpenters?
Yeah. Good question. think the only steering committee.
Are women teaching in the apprentice program?
Yeah, there's women teaching the apprentice program. It's just to increase our numbers. Mm-hmm. Increase our numbers and provide support so that there's a better chance of retention.
Mm-hmm.
And just get recognition for our efforts, you know, and get them to help us get recognized as a legitimate committee so that they can pay for stuff, mailings and, you know.
How long does that take? That's been going on forever.
For years. In fact, yeah, I know.
I remember when we had the hearings in New York City, Charles Fanning sitting there and saying that would be no problem to have a women's committee.
Right. But well, now they let us do stuff, but it's not really recognized. You know, like now they say, okay, you can use the copy machine, and here's the coffee pot, and you can have this room, and all like that, but it's still not exactly equitable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know. It's hard, and I think the it's because there's so few. Because there's so few.
What's the plan for the fall?
Well, to increase our numbers, and you know, approach more of the women, like have women like lobby other women they see coming into the school and trying to get them involved, and then just guest speakers and. You know, to inform the women that are already members to have it be like a support group for them and continue in our efforts to, lobby with other, network with other groups.
When this woman from the Women's Bureau, Florence Dickler, spoke, what was her perspective having done this for around 4 years? And what did she see for women in the trades?
Well, she was great, but she's come at it from a different point of view because she's an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like all encouraged, and she just feels like our time is now. And I mean, she's been with the Women's Bureau a really long time, and gave a little rundown on the whole history of the Women's Bureau and everything. And but she goes all over the place, like talking to. Like she's going to go to Beijing next year, which I would like to do that too, for some women in labor conference. And feels like that, Clinton just appointed somebody in Washington that's supposedly really supportive of this. And she's really, really interested in getting young women, like before they decide what they want to be, like early, like in grade school. Like that's her thing, because I think she used to be a school teacher. And that's what, she feels... Like that's where the focus should be, like getting into the schools and, being role models and showing the young women what they can be. And
well, was she able to tell you about any projects in New York City where that's taking place?
Yeah, the project, I think it's called Project Connect with the School Construction Authority. That's the one where I said, where I should get release time on my job to do it. And but I don't know if any women are doing it, any trade women are doing it. I don't know, because if they're working, how could they do it? And, we just need to get more organized, I guess. And she wants to get a roster of, that, and this was an old idea too, that the regional council, when it was active, wanted to do of tradeswomen so that, we all know who there is and we can call on each other. Because instead of, like even a computer data bank thing of, how many women carpenters are there and how many women steamfitters are there and like that, and have it accessible. And then just federal money for jobs and how, She said so many things. I'm getting it mixed up now.
So what did you connect with in her talk that seemed to make sense from your point of view, that you thought would be something to tap into for. You like the idea of talking to younger women.
And the thing about how just feeling like that there is. Support for this mandated on the highest levels, only that's what never seems to really filter down, but hearing her talk reinforced that there is, like there's federal money for projects, and the 6.9 for that percent that we're supposed to have that we haven't reached yet, and and iced tea money and getting that for New York and like that. That's an acronym.
What is that?
I'm trying to think. It's the I should know this too. The Inter-Surface transportation, something. Anyway, it's bridges and tunnels, but not roads or something. We want to include roads too, and
building.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's construction.
Mm-hmm.
But
What about in terms of the work that you were doing as a shop steward, and now that you're a supervisor, you're not a shop steward, but do you see any change in the way that the people that you work with, people who work for you, relate to the idea of steward? Does that seem such a foreign concept to them lately?
Yeah, no, it does seem to have been a big change, and I'm not sure exactly what brought that about, but since being a civil service carpenter, and everybody secure in their jobs, or so they thought, they didn't really see any need for any union involvement or having shop stewards or anything, you know, or being active or organized in any way. And now there's a new representative, Mike Powers, who is a civil service carpenter, only now he's the civil service representative to the union. And he's very well versed on civil service law, and he's done a great job of going around talking to different agencies and getting a whole bunch of carpenters interested in their jobs. I guess just because he knows so much, and so he signed up a whole bunch of people in the union who weren't ever in the union, and wants elections for shop stewards, which they're going to be in a couple of weeks at my job, which I've been there 9 years, and I've never voted for a shop steward, although every once in a while you hear, well, that one's the shop steward, but you don't know how they got that or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got to be the shop steward, because I was starting to study labor studies and didn't know how you got to be a shop steward, so I just asked Charlie Fanning, and he just said, oh, you can be one. But, so now this is a more legitimate kind of thing, I guess, so this election. So, I mean, I think it'll be good, and everyone seems to be sort of paying more attention, because it seems to be, everyone's sort of under a lot of pressure now. Well, the Board of Ed has been, a new boss, so that always does it, I guess, but people are just more not taking their jobs for granted as much, and with the threat of privatization and all that.
So is the threat of privatization being talked about in the Board of Ed?
Does that seem like they're
moving that direction?
Well, hopefully not, but, the custodians, a lot of the custodial work is now being done by contracts, so, there's always that threat. And, I mean, it's more now than ever since I worked there, because some agency has gone that way. I think General Services decided to do that instead of civil service carpenters. So, yeah.
What about the Kansas City Conference, and what came out of that? You got energy from that?
But yeah, that was really great. Well, the biggest thing that came out of it, I guess, is this list of possible participants in a new National Tradeswoman Network, because the other one died out. Mm-hmm. I mean, they lost their funding, or something happened to that one. And I just got that this week, and it's just getting started now, and they're just trying to find out how much energy everybody has and how to best go about getting it established. Mm-hmm. But I'm very really encouraged by it, because it seems like this is what I'm doing. So
how many women attended Kansas City?
I don't know. It was a couple hundred, I think.
Mm-hmm. And that it wasn't a national conference. It was a
It was. They called it the Tradeswoman Summit, which I love. But it was it was sponsored by the Department of Labor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really I really liked it quite a bit.
What about Tradeswoman, the magazine from California? Is that still published?
Yes, it is. I don't know what else to say about it. I still love it. And
you had visited California a few years ago.
Yeah, that was great.
Have you kept up with any of the women out there? Or?
No, I haven't. I sort of lost track of them. But yeah, I was very energized by that. Well, just that whole magazine, and that's where, to me, that's sort of where the movement got started.
Mm-hmm.
And the magazine came out of there. Then when I was working in isolation, that's the support that I got, just from the magazine and different newsletters and stuff, but that was the main one.
So You haven't seen any organizing going on outside of the carpenters around here, like United Tradeswomen, or do you think that there's going to be people who are going to pick up on this idea of a regional movement for a network?
Yes, I hope so. I hope it really catches on.
Are you going to be involved in it at all?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, I would like to be.
How will you make yourself be involved? How will you work?
Well, I wouldn't mind being like the tradeswoman committee designated person to sit on that committee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to sit on that caucus. And, in that capacity, no more committee work, I guess. Mm-hmm.
But would you see yourself working in a coordinating role, or what would your role be? What would you would be like delegate to it?
Right. So it'd just be like, how do you say? Just networking, mm-hmm. you know, trying to make connections with other groups and other women, and building a movement, you know.
At the Board of Ed, when Susan D'Alessandro was fired, did that create any kind of a wake? Was there some kind of response to that, or sort of?
There really was, and people are still talking about it, but not directly to me, of course, because I'm so adversarial with so many people there. But you know, somebody was saying today that a plumbing supervisor was saying to me today that. You know, he was thinking that if she gets her job back, it'll have, you know, far-reaching ramifications for that whole plant manager title, which isn't a civil service title. It was just sort of a created job that she got fired from, and she didn't have any protection, and that's how she got fired. But, you know, if she came back, you know, that she might try and get it created as a title where you have to take a test to have that job and stuff. And, yeah, I mean, everybody's, I think the whole, because she was a woman, because that's why she's suing, because she thinks it's a gender bias issue, then that put them all on their toes. But for me, I mean, it made everything worse, because she wasn't there anymore. And, you know, everybody just, even though on the one hand, they didn't want any other gender bias issues created, because they're already fighting this one in court. On the other hand, it was just, it's just difficult with them, because they're so hostile. I mean, I really feel like they're just so hostile to women in the workplace. You know, like there was a plumber's helper, and I feel like they just chased her out, you know. I mean, she quit. I mean, who quits a $35,000 a year job?
When you say they, you mean sort of unilaterally them, the others, the workers, the bosses,
Even
what about the top management?
I just think they don't know what goes on, except for, of course, then there's that memo I showed you today. Thank you, all the men in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. for the marvelous job they did. So it's like, ultimately, if you follow it up, I guess you do have to blame the people at the top, because...
They know something. They have this liaison person who has been out for how long?
Well, I think she just went out recently. But I lost contact with her because I was in school and didn't have the energy to keep it going. Like I had to keep everything going. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to do it on their own initiative. Like, if you mention something, they'll say, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to, like, offer it.
But so she wasn't able to translate what she learned from that into policy.
Right. Like, there's...
I know that you had mentioned back in 1990 that they were going to do a survey of anything come out of that.
Nothing came out of it. Everything just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, the pornography thing, that was a big issue with me. And it's not blatantly there anymore, but you still do find pockets of it, which I'm horrified by when I do, but in some of the shops, like in the back and stuff and on the calendars, which I can't believe there's any of it. But, you know, the most flagrant displays of it are gone now, and I guess that's a small victory, but I feel like the backlash from that is that, you know, there's tons of them that just know you as, you know, the ogre that didn't want that, and, you know, and it's hard to have, you know, affable relationships with them when that's how they are.
or something, yeah. You know?
So, what coming up on the next, looking out over the horizon, where do you see your energies going for trying to make some organizing gains in terms of your work? Where do you want to put your energy?
Well, I'm excited about the project we're collaborating on. And I'm excited about the Women Carpenters Committee, that, and I'm excited about the National Tradeswomen Network. But my job in particular, I don't know what to do. I mean, part of me feels like that I should organize on the job too. But since I'm the only one doing it, I feel really stymied in that effort for some reason. I feel like it'd be easier to just sort of like do it everywhere else but there. But then that creates, sets up some sort of internal conflict with me too if I'm not consistent. So.
What's this sex equity thing that Susan D'Alessandro was trying to talk you into doing?
Well, yeah, with the Chancellor's Task Force on Sex Equity, which I sat on before I went to law school.
Mm-hmm.
See, I went to law school, but now I'm not in law school anymore because it was too hard to do while I was
working
full
time.
So I was sitting on the Chancellor's Task Force on Sex Equity, which she wants me to get back on because she feels like it would be helpful to her. Mm-hmm.
But in terms of women, are they making any headway? Are they doing anything with it? What's their plan?
I think that they're geared towards not the women that work at the Division of School Facilities at the Board of Education, but rather all young women in New York City school public schools and gender equity. You know, I mean, like they did this study, and it's incredible. I mean, they just found out that, I mean, you know, the horrors of gender inequity, like at the peer, like how badly girls are treated by their peers in the schools, basically, from, you know, like
being ignored
beginning.
In the classroom and
right.
Math skills, and so that
and
seems like a good thing.
Sexual
yeah,
harassment,
really,
like in grade school, starting in grade school, so they're just like even intimidated to be a human being and be present, and how that would impede learning.
So are you thinking that you might go back onto the Sex Equity Committee? Or
I don't
think,
have
the energy for it? Or,
yeah, I don't
or
think
interest?
So. But, I mean, I wouldn't say absolutely not, but like right now I'm sort of branching out in these other areas.
Mm-hmm. So, well, in what do you see as the structures of support that you get from the management at the Board of Ed? Is there any support for equity?
I don't really feel it. I mean, right now I saw that they're advertising for a new equal employment opportunity head. And, you know, I guess it'll depend on who gets that job or something. You know, at least I feel like a lot of it might branch out from that office. And there is a new administrator, top administrator, and who knows how he'll be. But I don't really think, you know, and they did go through, you know, like they did sexual harassment training, but, you know, nobody took that seriously. And, I mean, they have tried to go through the motions of putting forth a good faith effort to make the place equitable, but it just doesn't feel like that it's worked very well. It still feels like that it's sort of like trapped in a time warp where, you know, it's just a male environment, and there hasn't, you know, been any change in it being very positive. Or if there has, it's been slow and hardly worth mentioning.
What about the hearings that New York City held back
in
1991? They put out a big report on their findings and anything translated into policy for the city, which is where you would think
right.
That's the logical place for them to start.
No, I think, I know. I think nothing's changed. I know. I think it would be a logical place for them to start, but no, I feel like they're just dragging their feet, but they don't want to do it, you know, and that it's. There's not enough, I think the low numbers of women in non-traditional jobs, which is the very reason why they need to do it, is the reason they don't do it.
Right.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, you know, easy to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of.
Yeah. So, and they still have the 5-year experience requirement.
Right.
That precludes getting women in there.
Mm-hmm. Although now there's talk about with this Project Connect, the school construction authority is doing about filtering them straight from vo-tech schools right into apprenticeship programs. And I don't know how that's going, because mm-hmm. I just heard about that from Florence at the meeting.
Because they are planning to build a lot of schools in New York.
Yeah, I think they are.
They're building one in my neighborhood.
Really? That's great.
Guys.
Really?
I haven't seen any women in the job.
Yeah.
They've been building a school for like 4 years.
Yeah.
They stopped for a while, but.
Huh.
And then they have their problems with corruption.
Right. You know? Right.
So anything to add on the organizing front?
Yeah, I can't think of anything, Jane. It's
You're still hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm still hanging in.
And well paid while you're hanging in there.
Right.
Okay, cheers. Here's to women who are well paid and able to hang in there.